Welcome to another short reading in the book of Luke, as we attempt to read Luke through the lens of the parable of the sower, and in particular to ask the question, what does it look like for the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life to choke out the word of God? And to answer an analogous question, what is the wealth of the kingdom that we inherit when we leave everything else behind, swear our allegiance to the king, and enter into the kingdom? That's what we're exploring. Let's read. In this example, in chapter 18, we get to look at an example of a guy who finds that life's cares, riches, and pleasures actually choke out the word of God. And we get to see a picture of the good stuff, too, where people choose in favor of the kingdom over life's cares, riches, and pleasures. Let's read. It says, a certain ruler asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And then Jesus quotes what the law and the prophets say in Deuteronomy 30, that if you will keep these commands, you will live. And so he just lists them. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Keep these commands and you'll live. And the ruler says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. When Jesus heard him respond that way, he said, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the rich ruler heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. And here we have our first picture. It's the picture of what it looks like for life's cares, riches, and pleasures to choke out the word of God. The word of God is simply this. It's repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's available. If here and now you will swear your allegiance to Jesus as king, leave the rebellion, enter the kingdom, then the wealth of the kingdom is yours. And he applies that in particular to this man by saying, come follow me, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you'll exchange worldly wealth that is vulnerable to theft and to decay and to loss. You'll exchange that kind of wealth for wealth that is secure, kept in heaven, wealth that never suffers loss. Come follow me. But he makes a bad trade. He decides to keep his grip on his worldly wealth. And he shows that, well, he shows a couple of things. He shows that he doesn't understand worldly wealth. He doesn't realize that he is merely a manager. He's not the ultimate owner. If he recognized that he was a manager, and he would realize that here we have the king saying, come and follow me, then what is it to him if his king says, okay, sell this and give it to the poor? Well, it's the king's anyway. King can do what he wants with it. But he doesn't see this as belonging to the king. He sees this worldly wealth as being his. And he would lose, not gain, but he would lose if he gives up what worldly wealth he has to come follow Jesus. And so Jesus looked at him and says, how hard it is for people who see wealth that way, rich, they are owners, not merely managers, to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for people who love money to actually let go of their stingy, thieving, perhaps oppressive grip on wealth and open their hands to the king and say, all that I have and all that I am is yours. Indeed, Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, those who heard Jesus say this, they said, well, who then can be saved? I believe the implication is this, that if God favors a person, then God enriches them. He gives them power and wealth. And if those who have this power and wealth, who have been favored by God, if they can't enter the kingdom of God, then who can? And Jesus replies this. He says, what's impossible with men is possible with God. It's usually about this time that our enemy starts chirping into our ear. just kind of stirring up fears that Jesus is going to ask that we give up everything that we have too. And of course, he already has. We've mentioned that several times. When we swear our allegiance to Jesus as King, what that means is we open our hands with all that we are and all that we have, and we say, look, we are merely servants, stewards of what you've given. Show us, guide us what to do, and we will do that. So your enemy will put some fear in your heart, thinking that, oh, you know, if you really decide to obey Jesus, that means you live a life of poverty. In a minute, we're going to learn that that is clearly not the case. It's actually a life of wealth in his kingdom. But here, I just want to say this. Perhaps you do have some kind of a stingy, selfish grip on worldly wealth. What I can promise you this is, if you have sworn your allegiance to Jesus as King, and if his Spirit is now within you, he is working to change you from the inside out, to where you're going to start to look for opportunities to be a contributor rather than somebody that just clings to what little he has. And you're going to find that it is really true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, let's continue with the passage. In verse 28, we turn our attention to a group of guys who have done just what Jesus asked this rich ruler to do, to leave everything behind and come follow him. And so Peter echoes that. Peter says to Jesus, we have left all we had to follow you. We've left all we had, which is exactly what Jesus asks of all of us. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Peter says, we've done what you've asked. Now what is there for us? And Jesus says, the wealth of the kingdom is now yours, and of far greater value than money or lands or fields. A far greater value is actually the people who are a part of the kingdom of God. These are the people who reflect God's image, who are shining as stars in a dark sky. One of the principles that I have been taught and have tried to follow, as complicated as it is to figure out what to do with my worldly wealth, is to err on the side of generosity. It's not always clear what to give, how much to give. Over the years, people have called Cornerstone Church, and I'll be sitting there studying or doing something and answer the phone, and people are often looking for money for something. Maybe it's for a utility bill or for a hotel or a car repair or something like that. And these are people who are sometimes just passing through town. Sometimes they are residents in the area, and they're asking for money. People know that the people of God are generous, and so it makes sense that they might call a church. I often ask people when they call, have you asked your own church? Because I know these are people who don't attend our church. Have you asked your own church if they would help? And I explain that God's plan is to care for his people, you know, through their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how that often works. Of course, usually people who call, actually without exception, all people who have called, they admit that they don't attend church, that church is just not their kind of thing. And what they are looking for is not a church. What they are looking for is money. They recognize the value and how practical money can be, but they don't see any use for a church. And to me, that's ironic. Because as I've said about trying to figure out, okay, how much can I help them with with money, at that very time, I always think through the people who are a part of Cornerstone. And I think, okay, so let's say that I give this person, you know, $200 or whatever it is. That $200 is of very little value compared to the real wealth of our group. As I'm making a decision and trying to figure out how to help them, I think, you know, if I could just introduce them to Scott and to Marcia, now there's real wealth there. If I could introduce them to Sally and Ian and Larry and Joanne and Jeremy and Angie and to Forrest, to Cindy, if I could introduce them to Sydney and to John and to Ben, there is real wealth. If this person who is calling with a need for money, this is a one-time thing, what they don't realize is that in our group, over the years, there has never been a need that we haven't stepped up and helped our brothers and sisters with. It might be something small, like some money for a CAT a bus ticket, or it might be something larger for a car repair or a home repair or something for medicine. I mean, our group, you know, we are reflecting the glory of our King in that we are putting worldly wealth to good use. We serve one another with it. In fact, in our group, we have found a group of people who are willing to put the interests of others ahead of their own. Wow, if you found a group like that. We found a group of people who are willing to clear up relationships when they're broken. We found a group of people who are willing to speak the truth in love. We found a group of people who are willing to both give and receive scriptural correction. We found a group of people who are willing to contribute money and time, money and their own effort, into advancing the cause of the kingdom. And we found a group of people who are willing to remain united by following the spiritual authorities that God has given us. That is the wealth of our group. And as I have periodically given money to strangers, I have been very keenly aware that the real wealth of our group is in the people. And if this person who is settling for money at this time, and I just think, what a bad trade, when you could enter into a fellowship and become a part of a body like this, you would be instantly wealthy. You would have a home, a wife, a brother, a parent, a children in this kingdom that God would work through and bless you through. May God continue to enrich us as a group so that we can continue to contribute to one another's lives. May God protect us from mismanagement. Father, we recognize that all we have is yours. And with open hands, we pray for wisdom to know how to use both the worldly wealth and the spiritual wealth that you've given us for your glory. Guide us in that. Shine your face on us so that we in turn can reflect your glory to the world around us. We pray for that in the name of our King, Jesus. Amen.